That grand word, whosoever, deserves to be sung nice and loud. It's a tremendous word to know. So before we continue, we'll just ask God's help and we'll pray. Our Father, we would bow now in the worthy name of thy Son. We thank thee for being able to tell forth a story, the story of a crucified Savior. And we just pray tonight that you will guide our thoughts and our lips, and that whatever is said from this platform tonight will be to thy honor and glory. And if there's someone seeking salvation, that tonight might be the night when they'll trust the Savior. They'll see themselves as the whosoever. So we just ask the blessing now upon us in his name. Amen. Well, now, coming in this morning, I seen Chris and Maria coming, and I thought, oh, good, I'll be able to get out of this tonight. So, but when I asked him, he was already on the roster, so I couldn't get out of it. So here we are. I'm going to read in three verses or three places tonight, just three short portions. The first one is in John chapter 3 and verse 3. For one verse. Well-known verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, and that was Nicodemus he was referring to. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, or most assuredly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, those are the words of the Lord Jesus. Let's go over now to the book of Romans in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 8. It's really verses 12 and 13 that I'm thinking about here, but verse 8 is where I'd like to start. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference, or there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then just a final reading over in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Some of you that know me probably most likely already know what's on my mind tonight. And coming up on January the 26th, I remember one time I was telling how I got saved, and I said that night it was January the 16th. But it's January the 26th, long as there's a time when. But I can remember saying it was on the 16th, and when I got down, my mother corrected me. She said, I believe it was the 26th. So on January the 26th, it'll be 43 years since I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. And it was through that grand word, whosoever. I read that verse in John chapter 3. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And you, Several years ago, at work, one of the patients that I was waiting on, he had both physical and he had some mental issues. And so while he was in, they had got a psychiatrist to come and speak with him regarding the mental issues. And he was in, or took him to a room to chat, and he came out a while later to the desk, and he was kind of rolling his eyes and not kind of nonchalant. And he said, that man's parents ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I remember the nurse that was in charge saying, why would you say that? Well, he said, you know, to say to your own child that they're born wrong and that they need to be born again or they'll never enter the kingdom of God. That was the words that he said. And he said, those parents ought to be ashamed of themselves for telling the likes of that to their own child. Well, that was several years ago, and I think if it was now, I would have had the courage to say something, but it just made me shudder to think that that's the way people think in the world. And we're not here to scare anyone, and we're not here to pass judgment, but it is a valid issue. If we know the truth, we should tell it. And it's the truth that unless you are born again, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who hears it is going to enter in. But the responsibility is on the individual, their own shoulders. It's our responsibility, if we know the truth, to tell it and then leave it with God and pray that that person that we've told the truth to will take it in for themselves. So as I was saying, I have a story to tell tonight, and being brought up in a Christian home, it's not as maybe colorful and as exciting as when some people get up to tell their conversion, but it's been a long time since I told it, and I'll just briefly tell it tonight, since it's coming up soon. And the story I have to tell is not a once-upon-a-time story. If it's a once-upon-a-time story, if you start a story like that, once upon a time there was such and such, you know that it's just kind of something that's made up, something that you tell, you know, just tell, you know, maybe your child will say, tell me a story. And if you don't know any right off the bat, you'll just kind of start, well, once upon a time. And you'll just kind of wing it if you can't think nothing. And hopefully it pacifies them and they'll go off to sleep. But the story that I have to tell tonight doesn't start with once upon a time. It's actually the greatest story that can ever be told. And it came from the Lord Jesus himself. I read that verse in Corinthians, for I deliver unto you that which I also first have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's really the greatest story that can be told. We're living in a dark world, and we need some good news. Well, the gospel is the good news tonight, and if you get caught up in listening and watching the news, it won't be long before you get pretty downcast and trodden. But tonight, here, you'll hear good news. I remember when I was young. Somebody asked me this morning how old I was, and I thought I was only 62, but I'm 63, and in June I'm going to be 64. So I was kind of downtrodden myself this morning. I was about a year and a half older than I thought I was. But I can remember every summer, or it seemed like every summer, we lived in Springfield West, out the road 5 miles, and we lived, you could see the We call it the old gospel hall now, I guess. And you could see the hall, and it seemed like almost every summer I'd see Arnold Grattan pulling in with the trailer. And as soon as I seen that, I knew what was going to happen for the rest of the summer. And, you know, nothing. Arnold Grattan was a tremendous man. He had a tremendous love for souls, and he was a kind gentleman. But I didn't like to see him coming. Because at that time, I knew that the whole summer, it wasn't 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but it was going to be the whole summer gospel meetings, tent meetings. And we had to go. We had to go every night. The summer, you know, the evenings are long. And back then, you know, we didn't play games and with our fingers all day. We were outside, and man, the things that we come up with to play. We're cutting guns out of boards and building bow and arrows out of branches. And we would have a great time. But of course, we had to go to meeting every night. And you know, that almost, I can remember, that would turn me away almost from even wanting to listen. But you know, God would speak. And there, I don't think there was a series that went by but what I got troubled and want to be saved. And I knew that if I wasn't saved, that I would go be in hell when I died, or if the Lord came, my hope would be gone. And I can remember when I was probably about 14, maybe less than that, my mom's father used to give her some money to get us Christmas presents, his grandchildren, the four boys. And I can remember one year, my mom, with the money that he gave to get a Christmas present, she got a little electric organ, probably about this long, not maybe quite as wide as this, little electric organ, and came with a book, and the book that came with it, well, there was two books. One was just, I'm not sure what the songs were, but one of them had hymns in it. And I can remember just right after we got it, my mom and dad probably went to visit them, him, I should say. So while they were gone, I got this book, and I learned to play When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound. It had numbers for the white keys and letters for the black keys, and it probably didn't go very smooth in that little bit of time. But I can remember learning that hymn, and when my parents got home, I wanted to play it for them. And when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, when the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? And, of course, my mom said, will you be there? And I knew I wouldn't be there. And it went like that. Year, basically every summer, like I said, there'd be a series of meetings, and I'd be troubled, and for some reason, I made the whole thing complicated. I used to hear the speakers get up, and that's why I try not to say it. I probably do, but it used to really get under my skin when the preacher would say, well, it's so simple, a child can drink it in. And here I was, I considered myself of somewhat average intelligence, and well, how come I can't see it? And that's the way it was. I couldn't see it for myself. I could see that it was simple. I knew it wasn't being, God didn't make the plan of salvation difficult, but for some reason, I was making it difficult. I was making it difficult. And if you're here tonight and you'd like to be saved, maybe that's why. Maybe it's the difficulty lies with you, because it certainly doesn't lie with God. He has provided the full and complete salvation, and he's offered free to you. So I can remember too going to sleep and at night and waking up in a sweat and trying to listen to see if I could hear my parents breathing. And that's when you wish they snored, because, you know, you slept in the rooms in the old house. The rooms were all right close, and if they moved or breathed at all, you could usually hear. But I can remember one night I could not hear a sound, and I waited and I waited and I waited. No sounds, no snorts, no snores, no deep breaths. And I thought, the Lord has come. So I crawled out over my brother Ivan. We had to share beds. And I remember crawling out over and going and looking in their room, and I could see the form, their form in the bed. And that satisfied me. And I went back to bed and laid down and must have went to sleep. But before I got back to bed, you know, the Lord could have come and I would have been left. And that always bothered me, was being left behind. And, you know, as we see the condition of the world around us, we can't help but realize that the coming of the Lord must be right on the doorstep. It's got to be tremendously close. We see the scripture playing out just so clearly in this day and age. It's unbelievable, but it's unreal just how vividly the whole plan is being displayed today. The Lord, one thing I can say, nobody knows when he will come. But I can say with certainty that it's never been closer than it is right at this moment. And we'll say that for 100 years. Nobody knows, but he is coming, and that is a fact. So to get to the core of the message, Romans chapter 10 was the portion that I was reading the night that I got saved. I was going with Arlene at the time, and she was saved. So it was a Tuesday night prayer meeting, Bible reading, and of course I went along just because she was going. And I was sitting there, and at this time I was, this was in 82. I was 20 years old, almost going on 21 come June that year. And I was sitting there and kind of, you know, bored and, listening to the same repetitious prayers. So I thought, you know, because I wasn't saved, and, man after man would get up and just pray, and it just sounded like repetition. And so I was reading. I opened the Bible. I said, well, I may as well read the Bible. So I opened in Romans chapter 10, and I started reading at verse 8. And the first words that I read, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And it clicked for the first time. Even though I grew up having the Bible read and hearing it preached, it just clicked for the first time that this is actually God's word. It's his word. And even though I'd never really doubted it, that night it came home to me. This is God's word. So as I read down the next few verses, I never stopped there. It just clicked that this is God's word. And then when I got to verse 12 and 13, verse 12 said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And remember I was saying I could see how, you know, salvation was simple for everyone else. All they had to do was believe it. But I couldn't see how it was for me. Well, when I read those words that night, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, it came to me like this: there's no difference between me and anyone else. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him, for whosoever. And for the first time it gripped me from God's word that I am not whosoever. And well, it was easy then. Once I seen I was whosoever, the verse said, you're saved. And that's, I know it sounds, and that's exactly what crossed my mind as soon as I seen that. It wasn't long before the devil started to say, "Oh, Paul, it's not that simple. You've tried for years. Don't believe that it's that simple." But when that's Satan trying to take the joy right away. And I can, anybody that's here tonight or anybody that has been born again, has seen that Jesus died for them, they'll say the same thing. It's not a complicated process, you know. I was thinking, people that have done maybe renovations and whatnot, can you imagine if you were an Orthodox Jew doing a kitchen renovation? God said in simple terms, way back in Exodus was the first place I think he said it. He said, "You must not cook a goat in its own mother's milk." Simple instruction. Can you see where that has gone today? Can you imagine Orthodox Jews today doing a kitchen renovation? They've read into that so many laws. Well, now no meat can touch any dairy. So you need 2 stoves, you need 2 fridges, you need 2 sets of pots, you need 2 dishwashers, 2 sinks, and the whole 9 yards. Why would they make it so complicated? God just said, don't cook a goat in its own mother's milk. It might have been a pagan thing at that time. There is some discussion as to why that instruction was given, but it was just a simple instruction. Don't cook the baby goat in its own mother's milk. Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, what did they do? Right away, they made themselves aprons, clothed themselves with leaves of aprons. Why would they do that? They made it complicated. Why did the ancient people try to build a tower to Babel? Now there's a chore. That was a complicated chore. So complicated. Why is it that human nature, fallen man, wants to make God's simple instructions so complicated? Well, it's called religion. So tonight, we're not here to preach religion. We're here to preach Christ and Christ alone. When he came, he went to the cross. And on that cross, God laid on his shoulders all the sins necessary to make peace with God. My sins and yours. And all he instructs us to do, it's a simple instruction. Not 500 laws that you have to follow or add to, but just a simple instruction. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a verse in Acts. It's a short, simple verse. When the jailers asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved? Are you here tonight and are you wondering what must I do to be saved?" The answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Is it that simple? You just believe who he is, who Jesus is, and what he has done. And the verse says, you are saved. I trust someone will do that tonight.